My name is Nate Mickle. You're listening to Mickles and Dimes Layer 2, where every interview is dedicated to the simple, the practical, and the underappreciated. Ann Ten Brunsel is a business ethics professor at the University of Notre Dame. Her research examines why employees, leaders, and students behave unethically, despite their best intentions to behave ethically. Ann is the author, co-author, or co-editor of 6 books on ethics, including Blind Spots with Max Bazerman and Codes of Conduct with David Messick, and she has also published more than 50 research articles and book chapters as well. Her research has been covered in the New York Times, NBC, ABC, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, U.S. News & World Report, The Associated Press, The Guardian, Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Huffington Post, Washington Post, NPR, and in blogs for Psychology Today and Freakonomics. Ann was also my advisor when I was a postdoc at Notre Dame, and she is, in a word, awesome. I hope you enjoy learning from Ann Ten Brunsel today, because I always do. Well, Ann, it's so great to connect again today. And it is because of you that I was able to live out the dream of working at Notre Dame. So it's so great to have you on the podcast today.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks, Nate.
So you are an expert on ethics. And as you think back on your research and the lessons you've learned, what would you most want to pass on to others?
You know, I think it's what, in somewhat retrospect, I realized before I even started. And that is that in some sense, and not to be kind of a bummer here, but no one's really immune from behaving unethically. So I think one of the first findings that we saw consistently over and over is that everyone rates themselves more positively on almost all attributes. But I do this every year with my executive MBAs and my undergrads when I'm teaching them. And we really overinflate when you ask about honesty and other ethical traits. So it's something that we're really in a bubble about. And as I always say, I think that's for both good and bad reasons. The good reason is it's important to us. That's why we want it to be even better than how we rate our decision-making ability and our negotiations and a variety of other managerial traits. And that's good news, right? Because you wouldn't want people to say like, yeah, I'm a 10, I'm 10 percentile. Like, what? Who cares? It's because I really care about it. And so I want to be seen as good at it. But the problem, kind of the negative downside of that, is that we are really unaware and really in our own ethical bubble. And so the consequences of that really means like, you know, that training belongs to somebody else or is for someone else. And, you know, that decision I made wasn't as bad as it really was. So it causes us in some sense to stagnate. I would even argue it might even, these kind of ethical illusions cause us to go on a downward spiral because of things, and you, I'm sure, have talked about this, known as moral licensing, where I remember, you know, if I do something good, I behave badly. If I do something bad, I feel the need to correct it and behave positively. Well, if I'm in this bubble and all I remember are good things that I did, and I'm way overestimating on that, then I'm overcompensating on doing bad things and not remembering what I did because I want to uphold that image. So, I mean, I would say that that's kind of its foundation, the most basic level or the most basic finding. And I think where then the next maybe kind of sub-learning point is that came in for me is the role that the context has on you. So we think we're good people, that we are. I think most of us are very good people. We have good values. As I mentioned, we all want to be seen as ethical. And I think we don't realize the role that the situation has on us. And so that's probably what I've spent some time in. I often tell this example when thinking about today. I hadn't thought about it for a while. When I was in my first job, one of the really exciting parts of my job was to renew the contracts for our technology, and people had, of course, laptops and personal computers. So somebody announced that they were quitting, say, August 4th. And my manager said, well, you know, date the letters July 31st. So we don't have to pay for the service warranty on this. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. And 3 times he came back in my office and said, I told you to put the date. And I said, and I'm not going to do that. And so, you know, you walk around, you're like, oh, I'm so good, right? And I avoided it. And I realized this, I mean, it was true, but that part had kind of left my mind as it does until a few years later. I'm like, yeah, but I had already accepted another job and I knew that I was leaving my firm. So it made it very easy for me
Interesting.
To be ethical. And so I can't really say that that led then to my interest in studying ethics, but it is certainly an example of what I realized myself. And that is, had I not had another job, and I had a really good job that I was leaving for.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what my behavior would have been.
Well, this is so fun to hear you talk about ethics, because I basically taught your ethics course. You gave me your materials when I was at Notre Dame, and I used your materials to teach the course. And so we obviously have such a shared kind of understanding of this approach, but so much of it came from you and your work. And a couple of things that made me think of is I do this exercise in my leadership class where I divide the group, the class in half, and basically one half has to persuade the other half to do something. And like a week before this lesson, we talk about the importance of honesty and the importance of trust. And if you don't have trust, it's so hard to motivate and inspire people and to influence them. Well, anyway, every single time I do this activity, the students start to persuade by lying. I mean, it's like they lie like every time. And if you ask the students, you know, is it bad to lie? They would all say, yeah. Is it good to tell the truth? They'll say, yeah, of course. And yet when it's time to persuade, and, you know, I think it's partially because we're in a business school and that's just what people have, you know, they think is acceptable. It's so easy to go straight to lying. And all the while they probably feel like they're fine. If you ask them after the activity, is it okay to lie? They'll say no. And they'll say, you know, should you lie? They'll say no. And are you honest? They'll say yes.
That really points out two things. One is I've always called it the time zero problem, right? And we know this from some of our research and some of the research that others have done. I predict I'm going to behave honestly, right? Yeah. And I recollect that I did, but at the time of the decision, which is why I always call it the T0 problem, something happens. And we have a variety of reasons as to why. But my impulse is to kind of get what it takes at that moment. And I don't predict that that motivation is going to be as salient. We had a project, Tina Diekman and Adam Galinsky, and when you ask people in a very similar context, what are you going to do if you're faced with, say, either a really competitive negotiator, really aggressive person versus not? They all say they're going to be as aggressive, if not more, or as competitive as their opponent. In other words, they predict that they'll fight fire with fire. And yet what we find is they actually back off even more than the people that aren't. And the reason we found is that the motivations they predict are going to drive their behavior, winning, not letting somebody get the advantage of you, actually are replaced by a motivation of just wanting a smooth interaction. And so while the reverse of your example, in the context of, say, standing up to my morals, I just want to get along and I don't stand up at a time when I should. So to me, they're just two different behaviors. One is lying and one is not standing up for myself or for someone else sitting in the room, a lot like your amplification research. I might predict that I'm going to stand up, but at the time, or amplify somebody in the room, but at the time that somebody is confronting me with that, I just want them to like me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard. So it gets to your second point, right? About the context. The context is so important. And so that leads to the question, okay, how can we be better? How can we be more ethical?
So, you know, I have probably more things to say on that than we have time for. When I teach, I kind of do it by segment. So kind of the intrapersonal factors. So think about that time of the decision. Think about what motivations are going to be important to you, not the ones you think are going to be important now, but the ones that will be important to you. Really, importantness is very simple, but I think, and I think the newer generations are getting this a little bit, your cognitive pressures. So the busier you are, the more things you try to stack in, the more things that are going on outside of home are just going to leave you in more of a want self. And that want self was very kind of get it done right now. Can drive out kind of your more abstract thinking, which is important in implementing your own values. So getting rest, designing your work. I think Daniel Kahneman, who unfortunately just passed away, I have a little video that I show of him talking about doing a postmortem, and he talks more about this with groups, but I actually think it's a really cool idea just as an individual. Okay, so you get already, you're going to go down this path, you've made a decision. And then he says, and he says, get the group. But again, I think you can get yourself to think about this. It goes wrong. It goes completely wrong. You have a plan for how to tell somebody that they're, you know, being fired. And now think about how your plan actually is going to backfire. And doing that allows you to get rid of some of those escalation tendencies we have, where we want to glob onto an answer and kind of just move forward with it. And so all of those are really tied together in this notion, is that you really need to think about the dilemmas that you're in, right? You need to think about what your motivations are. You can't just making quick decisions, right? We're quick to lie because of that T0 problem. And we really have to kind of prepare for the dilemma that's going to sit in front of us. And it's a little bit, I would say maybe even a lot more difficult than we perceive that it's going to be.
Well, it reminds me of the study of the job applicants, where you ask people, you know, ask job applicants, imagine you're going into an interview and, you know, the interviewer asks you these sexist and inappropriate questions. What will you do? And everybody's like, oh, of course, we're going to call them out, right? Like, that's not okay. And then with the experiment, they actually put people into what they believe is a real interview,
and they don't
say anything, right? Because it's like, we want to get along, or we want to get the job. And so we're so quick to behave in different ways than we predict we'll behave.
Exactly. So you have to really anticipate that disconnect. You have to anticipate that the want self, kind of your unethical self-interest side, is probably going to rear its ugly head at the time of the decision, and be prepared to combat that by having your should self, thinking through what your values are, making sure you're rested, checking out your ideas with other people. You just can't, as I always say, you can't go into this, and you don't do it for anything else. You don't go into a meeting and say, well, I didn't really prepare. I hope it turns out right. You can't go into ethical dilemmas and say, yeah, I'm sure I'm a good person. It's going to turn out fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you really just need to make sure that you're spending time, because and maybe I'm biased, but I do believe it's one of the most important types of decisions that you make, and that are ethical decisions, because those are ones that are, you speaking about trust, it's hard to get back our trust if we have behaved unethically towards others, right? Which it's very easy to destroy it, as we know, but pretty hard to get back. And so it's in a really important class of decisions. So I think you should always, should always be reading, taking training, listening to your podcast, Nate.
Well, thank you. I heard a quote last week that I really liked that I hadn't heard before, and it said, trust arrives on foot and leaves on horseback. Yep. It's so hard to gain, right? And we can lose it so quickly. Well, and this is so fun because we spent so much time together at Notre Dame and since then working on projects together, but we've never had a conversation quite like this, because it was always more focused on like either the research projects or the mechanics. And I just wanted to share one story about you that always stuck with me. When I was at Notre Dame, I remember telling you that for the football games, you know, the football games are just, for me and for many of us there, it's kind of, you know, the highlight of the year, and you got 6 or 7 a year. And I remember telling you that I had found like the most awesome parking spot, because parking for the games can be challenging. And I forget what happened, but I said something. You're like, were you going to tell everybody about it? I was like, well, no, I can't tell everybody about it, because then I might lose it. And you're like, well, that's not very ethical. Like, I've got like this great like spot. Like, of course I should share it. And anyway, I just thought that was so funny. Your mind was always thinking about, you know, what are the ethics of these decisions? And I think that's an important way to approach life. We should always be thinking about the ethics of our decision, especially if we want to make ethical decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And but be aware too of, you know, and again, there's so much to get into, but how other people influence your behavior. That's a whole set of, they can both help you and they can bring you down. How power, as soon as you're given power, influences your behavior, right? So how rewards, how sanctions. So there's so many factors. It's it's more though important. It's important for you to think about your values, but as we talked about kind of at the beginning, those external influences is really important to identify how they're going to influence you in ways that you don't know.
And what we should really do is if we want to be good at this, we need, like you said, we need to spend time thinking about it and working at it. And so we should just read and study your book, Blind Spots. That would be a great, first step or continued education to just help us keep thinking about these things.
Oh, that's very kind. And listen to your podcast, Nate.
Well, Anne, again, this has been so great. It's so great to catch up here. I look forward to continuing to work with you on projects. I know we're meeting next week and we'll be continuing to meet. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your expertise with us.
Well, thanks so much, Nate. And thanks for promoting ethics. This is a great, great vehicle to do that. So thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mickles and Dimes with Anne Tenbrunzel. What important lessons Anne shared today. First, no one is immune from behaving unethically. And sadly, over and again, we tend to overrate our own ethics. This is especially prevalent in what Anne refers to as the time zero problem. When facing an ethical dilemma, we predict we'll behave ethically. And after making our decision, we recollect that we behaved ethically. But at the time of the decision, all too often, we feel unexpected pressure, we make some excuse, we adopt some rationalization, and we behave unethically. We're in a constant battle with our want self and our should self, and all too often, we give in to our wants rather than standing by our shoulds. To improve our ethics, we need good sleep, continued education, and practice. Just as we wouldn't expect to perform well in a meeting without preparing, we shouldn't expect to perform well in an ethical dilemma if we haven't prepared. In summary, study ethics, take a class, read Anne's book, learn about the ways that power, pressure, and circumstances can lead us to unethical behavior, and then check your ethics with other people. Conduct a pre-mortem and let your should self win. It's a simple idea. Please take it seriously. Nate Mickle here with two quick requests. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and give it a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks for your support.